Well, our subject tonight has to do with prayer. I would say that's an area in my life that I need to constantly be encouraged about, exhorted about. I really struggle with prayer. I think partly because my life is so busy. And it may be so busy because I don't take enough time in prayer. But tonight we're going to talk about prayer. When we think about prayer, the subject of prayer, it is huge. There's no way we could look at the whole subject of prayer. I wrote down just a few of the things that we could look at. We could look at in the scriptures about when to pray, what to pray, how to pray, hindrances to prayer, positions of prayer, Jesus's prayer, the model prayer, which is we often refer to as the disciples' prayer, Paul's praying, praying in the Old Testament, praying in the New Testament, and we could go on and on about prayer. Think of the Lord's Prayer. What are the requests, and please respond to me tonight, what are the requests found in what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer? Just name the request. Think through the Lord's Prayer. What are some of the requests? To give us our daily bread. So we do that. We pray for the Lord to give us our food and thank Him for it. What's another thing in the Lord's Prayer? A request. Forgive us of our sin. And I trust that you do that. I have to do it daily. You know, forgive me for my sin, Lord. What's another thing in the Lord's Prayer? That's right. Give us victory over sin. You know, lead us not into temptation. What's another thing in the Lord's Prayer? The what? In the Lord's Prayer, I think that's kind of it, but there's one more clearly. Thy kingdom come. Lord Jesus, come again. And that ought to be a prayer that we have in our heart constantly in praying. And so tonight I'd like for you to open your Bibles to James chapter 5, the last part of verse 16. Last part of verse 16. And so let me ask you a couple of questions in our context. First of all, when we are afflicted, in verse 13, when we are afflicted, what are we to do? Everyone together? Pray. Number two, when we're merry, when we're happy, filled with joy, what are we to do? Sing. Number three, when we are sick, what are we to do? In the context, we are to what? Seek prayer and seek physical help. We talked about praying and then anointing with oil. And so there are seven times prayer is mentioned, and you have your pen ready and you have your Bible or your notebook. I'd like for you to circle them as I asked you to circle this morning. There are seven times prayer is mentioned in this text, verses 13 through 18. So get ready to circle them. It is mentioned in verse 13. Circle the word prayer in your Bible. Verse 13, when you're afflicted, pray. It is found in verse 14, and I'll summarize it very simply. Have others pray. Circle the word prayer. Pray for you. Go to verse 15. How are we to pray? Circle the word prayer or pray. How are we to pray? We are to pray in one word, in faith. Verse 16. Circle the word pray there. And then it says, pray for what?
One another.
Pray for one another. The fifth one, we are to pray effectually, fervently. And we're going to see that in just a moment. We are to pray earnestly and over again. And so, by the way of encouragement and exhortation, James uses an Old Testament as an example for prayer. So let's look at verse 16 as we begin tonight. So the last part of verse 16 is where we begin. The first thought after the words that you may be healed is the effectual fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm going to break it down in just bite-sized pieces. First of all, number one, our prayer should be effectual. See it in your text? The effectual, fervent prayer. And so the second thing will be fervency in our prayer. The word effectual is the word that we get energy from. Energy. And so the word energy is found here and in every place except one, the energy that comes from God. And so we ought to pray in God's energy. There's a passage of scripture we studied in Romans 8:26, and we covered that in the morning, and that is that the Holy Spirit prays for us when we do not know how to pray. The passage in Ephesians chapter 5, it says we ought to pray in the Spirit. So our prayers should be energized by God Himself. Let me repeat it. Our prayers should be energized by God Himself, and they will be effective. They will affect results. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given to you. I mean, there is a result from us praying. Can I say it again? Prayer affects results. So praying gets a response. Dr. Pifkin from Appalachian Bible College said the prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. And so effective or effectual prayer. And so prayer is powerful. It's potent. One commentator said prayer is spiritual dynamite. Pray and you'll get God to work for you. Warren Wiersbe said, pray and you'll get God to work for you. So our prayer should be, number one, effectual. Number two, the second thing you notice in our text, the effectual, and what's the third word in the verse? Fervent. I think all of us understand fervency. There's a fire to it, a passion to it. And I like that word passion. Our prayer should be passionate. And so we shouldn't just pray frivolously, lightly, with lightheartedly. We should pray with passion. John MacArthur said a passionate prayer can call down the power of God. And so passionately pouring out our heart. My difficulty is I find that I normally pray passionately when what I'm praying about affects me. Did you hear me? When I am sick, I pray passionately. But our prayer should always be passionately. Prayer. Praying with passion. Let me stop just for a moment. What language are we reading this in? Was it written in English? Yes or no? What language was it written in? We have an English translation of the Greek. There is a common word used for prayer in the Greek most of the time. Some say 80% or 85% of the time. This is not the word that is the common word. Number two, there is a second word that is used for 10% of the time. Now we're up to 95%+ of the time. The Greek word that is used here is an unusual word, is D-E-D-E-long-E-S-I-S. And it simply is the word to ask, request specifically. That is really powerful for me. Request specifically. One commentator says the idea of being a specific need is expressed specifically. And so it's the expression of a need. I'm really glad that God can distinguish between our needs and our wants. Sometimes I know that my prayers are not answered because they are wants, not what? Needs. And so that is the emphasis of that word. All right. One, we should pray effectively. Two, fervently. And then number three, it says the prayer of, and so number three, we should pray specifically, the word prayer that is used there. Number four, we should pray and with a righteous heart. Now let me just say a few words about a righteous man. Righteousness or a righteous man is an adjective. So it qualifies the one praying. By the way, the word is 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, you remember that verse? Let's say it together. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he is faithful and what's the word? Just. Say it. He is faithful and just. Same Greek word as righteous. It's exactly the same word. And so a just man or a righteous man, God hears. Now, when you read that, you must remember our Bible study in Romans. Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous. No, not one. Isaiah says all our righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. Romans 10 verse 3 says a man tries to establish his righteousness, but he fails miserably. But Romans 1:17 says Christ gives us his righteousness. So our only hope to having answered prayer is to make sure we are in Christ. Years ago, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention got in big trouble when he said, God only hears the prayer of his children. God only hears the prayer of a Christian. And the reason is because here, a righteous, one who has found righteousness of Christ applied to him is the one that has effectual, fervent prayer. Philippians 3:9 says, oh, that we would not be found in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ. And so we do know this. The scripture says, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what? The Lord will not hear me. And so we cannot come. Before I close my notes, my Bible this afternoon, I prayed, asked the Lord to forgive me for my sin. Now, I did that this morning, but I didn't have the best afternoon, so I had to ask the Lord to again forgive me for my sin. Beloved, there's nothing wrong with that. Agreeing with God that what our attitude in this situation, I didn't kill anybody this afternoon. I wanted to, but I didn't. But our attitude is not pleasing to the Lord. And so we had to ask forgiveness. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so the righteous man. And so 2 Corinthians 5 says, for he the Father hath made him the Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. And so, beloved, any answer to prayer is not given because we deserve it, but it's given up by the merits of Christ. It's his righteousness whereby we are able to pray. And so the one, we need to pray effectually. Two, fervently. Number three, we ought to pray specifically. Number four, we ought to pray from a cleansed heart, one in Christ, one who is righteous. And then we read these words, it availeth much. Now, the Greek words availeth much means very strong. Very strong. Dr. Lehman Strauss said these words. He said, weak prayers come from weak people and have weak results. But strong prayers come from strong people and have strong results. And so it availeth much. Proverbs 15 says, the Lord heareth the prayers of the righteous. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And so it availeth much. And so we're going to find an illustration that he's going to use here in our text. And so let's go to that, please. And we're going to go to a man by the name of Elijah. Elias is the old English word. We call him Elijah from the Old Testament. So why did they choose Elijah? So I wasn't able to read all of the chapters that deal with Elijah, but I wrote down a couple of things. In a man's commentary by the name of Hebert that I enjoy reading, He said Elijah was the grandest and the most romantic character of the Old Testament. That's from man's perspective. But that's what he said. But he did fight a life and death battle with Ahab and Jezebel. He killed the prophets of Baal and had to flee for his life. He saw some things that no man has ever seen. He raised the dead. He multiplied a widow's meal and oil. He ate from the beak of ravens. He feasted with angels. He outran Ahab's chariot. He met with God in a cave. He walked across Jordan and didn't get his feet wet. He went 40 days and 40 nights with just one meal. The most important thing, the one that we seem to remember the most, is he vanished from earth in a fiery chariot. And so, Elijah. Many look at Elijah as one of the greatest of the Old Testament saints. Kittle, who is a very famous Greek expositor, in his dictionary of New Testament words, he says he seems almost superhuman. It's interesting that Elijah's name was always connected with someone coming, preceding the coming of the Lord, Micah. And when John came, they thought he was Elijah. It's interesting that of all the people of the Old Testament, that Elijah was chosen to be present at the what we call the transformation or transfiguration. He's an unbelievable guy. But I want you to note what the text says about him. For it says that Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. And so the Elijah the prophet that we're looked at in such a powerful way was really just a man. No different than you or I. And so he was a mere man. Anthropos or anthropon, he was just a human being like you and like me. And yet God heard him and answered his prayer. And so that gives me hope that when I pray, God hears me and answers my prayer. Elijah is used as the example, but he's just another man. There's a story found in Acts chapter 14, verse 15. It's a story where some amazing things were done and the people came out. And they worshiped, tried to worship Paul and said, no, don't do that. I'm only a man. And the Greek word that is used there is the same Greek word that is used here. You can read the story in Acts chapter 14. The text says he was subject to like passions. See the words up there? Subject to like passions. He was hungry. 1 Corinthians 17:11. That bothered him. It bothers me when I'm hungry. 1 Kings 19:3, he was fearful. He feared death. 1 Kings 19:4, he was discouraged. He was so discouraged that he wanted to take his life. He was subject to like passions, yet the Lord heard him. And so there's hope for us. Notice our text. It says that he prayed earnestly. If I was going to continue the thought of how to pray, I would use the word to pray earnestly. That story is found in 1 Kings chapter 17 and chapter 18. Earnestly, or he prayed with great intensity. How do you pray? You pray with intensity. When I thought about that, I thought of, for instance, Jacob. He was wrestling with an angel there at the brook Jabbok. And he was in prayer so strong that it pulled his hip out of joint. I've never prayed like that. 1 Kings 18 says that when God revealed that the drought was to be finished, Elijah climbed on Mount Carmel, looked down over the blue Galilee. And chapter 18, verse 42, how did he pray? He prayed with his face to the ground between his knees, seven times, and then the sky grew black and the rain started. Remember how Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Her prayer was so intense that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. Do you remember that in 1 Samuel? That's how intense her prayer. Have you ever prayed with such intensity and passion that someone thought you were drunk? Eli thought she was drunk because she poured out her soul before God. Think of Ezra. Ezra chapter 9. He prayed. Verse 5. He prayed so hard that he tore his shirt and tore his coat, his tunic and his cloak. Ezra chapter 9, verse 5. And when we move to the New Testament, Paul, he told the church at Colossae that Epaphroditus, he wrestled in prayer. Wrestled with them. That is Colossians 4, verse 12. There's no doubt that the greatest advantage of someone praying passionately or intensely is our Savior. There, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed so hard that he burst the capillaries in his forehead. We are to pray intensely. We're to pray passionately. In a commentary on that, Hebrews 5:7 said he offered prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. And tears. And so we are to pray earnestly. Now, notice with me in your text, he prayed earnestly. Our English text there, earnestly, the word prayed is a double word. Hard to translate it. I tried to think about how to say it tonight. Maybe this way, he prayed prayers, or he prayed. I don't know how to say this. He double prayed. Just to give you an idea of how hard Elijah prayed. He prayed. You know, just say it twice. And so, this is a tremendous example of prayer. And I just want you to note, and we're coming down to the closing of our text. It says, he prayed earnestly, and that it might not rain. And it rained not. Here is a man who prayed for no rain. It didn't rain. Couldn't help but think of last winter. I did not pray that it would not snow. But if I would have, I'm not sure it would have. It just kept on snowing. And so think of this. Here is a man who created and ended a 3.5-year drought. Think of that. First King records the drought, but not the length. Only James gives this duration. How would James know the duration since it's not found in First Kings? I can only say this. James was a student of prayer. James studied prayer warriors. I want to remind you that James was called Old Camel Knees because of the time that James spent on his knees in prayer. Do you study men of prayer? Do you study prayer? Luke tells us, Luke chapter 4, verse 25. Of this story. And so, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so God does answer prayer. Beloved, God did it for Elijah, and he does it for us. I do not know when the answer is divine intervention or when it is medically something that God does. But I think of Bob and Tamas sitting here. Really, we were at a point where, well, if I was a priest, we would have been giving him his last rites. And here he is tonight. But hundreds and hundreds prayed for him during that time, for God to give him wisdom. God to give wisdom to the doctors and for the Lord to divinely intervene. And so God still answers prayer. I repeat, He did so for Elijah, and so He will for you and for me. As I thought in closing, there are just so many answers to prayer in the Scriptures. Chrysostom, who was known as the golden tongue orator of the church, said he closed the mouths of lions, expelled demons, he burst chains of death, he rescued cities from destruction, he stopped the march of armies, he deposed despotic rulers, he even quieted a raging sea, he reversed the results of diseases, he stopped the sun in its course, all because of prayer. And so may this little short half of one verse in verse 17 be special as we see how we should pray. Number one, we should pray effectively. Two, fervently. Three, specifically. Four, from a clean heart. Five, earnestly. And repeatedly. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. Heavenly Father, thank you for the encouragement and the exhortation to prayer. I got to have it all the time. And so, Father, thank you for this wonderful text tonight. It's been helpful to be reminded how we should pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.